You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Marketing News Canada. My name is Mackenzie and I will be hosting this episode. I am so excited to be joined here with Yasmin Abouelsoud. Having been in the industry for over 10 years, Yasmin has become an expert in the field, especially when it comes to digital media. After a few years in print journalism, she began her journey in digital publishing and has learned to pivot through all the challenges, especially over the last few years. A proud daughter of hardworking immigrant parents, Yasmin has always tried to mentor and help those who want to write or become journalists. Besides mentoring, Yasmin uses her time outside of work to network with those in the industry. She's always happy to connect contacts and support local businesses. Her career so far has allowed her to interview everyone from celebrities to athletes and politicians. When she is not looking at SEO best practices updates or editing, Yasmin can be found at her fave spin studio and then brunching, because life is about that kind of balance. I totally agree. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So if you don't mind, I'd love to get into your position you're at today and then kind of what led you there, from university to finding your path, or even before that, what started your passion for kind of where you are now, and what do you do day to day in your role now?
Yeah, so I think that you touched a little bit on my background. So I do come from a mixed race family, and I was actually raised and born abroad. So I lived in many different cities before even the age of 10, including and not limited to Manila and Cairo. And because of that, I think I was exposed to a lot of storytelling in my background. And so I've loved writing since I was a child. English was my parents' common language. So I grew up speaking English and writing English quite early on. And so that love of storytelling sort of led me through the path I went with in terms of university and studying. I studied media and ended up going into journalism as well. But I think that part of my path wasn't traditional in a sense. My first job in the field was actually on an island south of South Korea called Jeju, kind of like a tiny little dot on the map. And I started there at an English newspaper that was run by the university there. And like I said, totally traditional, very out there. I did not speak Korean, but I went to events with the others who do and had translators. And it was a very interesting experience to kind of start journalism. It was print and also online. And I don't want to age myself, but this is a while ago. So we'll just leave it at that. And so when I came back to Canada, I ended up moving to Tofino for a couple of years and worked there for a newspaper, and it was a print, and it wasn't even a daily. And at the time, it was when traditional media was starting to pop articles online as well. So again, trying not to age myself here, but it was a little bit ago when, you know, it wasn't heavily digital. You know, from there, I moved to Vancouver, where I ended up at an event, and I met the founders of Daily Hive at the time, called Vanity Buzz. That's really how I ended up in the field of digital journalism. At the time, obviously, it was very small, unknown blog. Well, it was known, but it wasn't like as big as it is today. And, you know, I really was so grateful to have grown with the team there. It was a very small team to begin with, just in Vancouver, and ended up launching nationally in several cities. And I left Daily Hive as a managing editor, currently working with Curiosity, taking the role as executive editor, really same sort of in terms of footsteps of helping a company grow within its team and like beyond. So
that's so exciting. And yeah, to be a part of...
It's a long path.
Yeah, to be a part of a company like your last job, for such oversee such growth, I can imagine that's amazing and so exciting. You're stepped into a new opportunity. So I love that. Being in the industry for so long and having such a variety from where you were previously, just writing at smaller dailies, and then your expansive career in your last position and moving forward, obviously you've kind of stepped more into the digital side of things, and that's a notable change. Is there anything else that sticks out to you when you think about kind of where we're at today and where you started? Like, what are the glaring differences?
Yeah, well, I think part of my role now, you know, I'd like to say I still write a lot. I mean, I write, but not a lot. But because part of the role and the growth for someone like me is that we end up looking at the industry differently, and it becomes more about strategy and, you know, trying to keep ahead of any trends and what does that look like. And our strategy in digital across the board really isn't just what is published editorially. You're looking at a video strategy, a social strategy. So all of that kind of really combines into what my role has become nowadays and how much it's changed. It's become a lot less about just the editorial side and a lot more about the whole overall look of what the publication's doing all across the board, not just on the website itself, but on its digital platforms and including social media.
I love it. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. I was wondering in your position, what that looks like. Are you writing a lot, or, you know, are you just fielding through an inbox full of pitches? And I would love to dive into that, being a public relations coordinator here. What that looks like, is that a huge part of your day? Are you going through pitches, and what stands out to you? What are the huge no's, if that's a big part of kind of what you're doing? I'd love to talk a bit about that.
Yeah, of course. I think in terms of PR, like, that's a huge part of, I could not have been where I am today without the PR side of digital media, in my opinion. The reason for that is when we expanded initially, when I was at Daily Heaven, we expanded, you know, part of that was coming back to a city that I used to live in, that's Toronto, and starting new in a way. It's already, you know, got all the out there, you know, people say, like, well, there's that whole competition whether Toronto or Vancouver is less friendly. So
right.
Moving back here as an adult, like, you know, you think, oh my God, is this going to be the reality of my life again? And, you know, I say that it's really been a big part of my life having PR, because it was how I got reintroduced to the city. I went out to events, I met people, and I'd say that half of my close friends ended up becoming those I've met through PR. So I really love and respect what you do. I think that in terms of my inbox, there are good days and bad days, but I think everyone who knows me knows that I'm very particular about my inbox. So I can't, I'm a zero notifications kind of gal. Oh. So I will always go through the emails and flag anything that does need a response sooner than later. But yeah, you know, what I will always say is that your emails are definitely read, because I don't leave anything unread.
Yes, okay.
But in terms of also kind of sifting through and seeing, you know, what works and what doesn't, I think that I've had the fortunate, you know, chance of communicating this with a lot of the PR that I dealt with over the years here. So there's been a lot clearer image for them of what pitches to send. In terms of questions that I get asked from PR is, you know, why did this pitch not work? Or, you know, why is this not a fit for a story? And I, you know, it just goes back to, like, really look at who you're pitching. And I think one of the things I've said before to someone recently is, how would that pitch look like as a headline for the publication you're, you know, pitching to? So, you know, whether it's CBC or the Star or the Vancouver Sun, I think everyone has a different tone. So what are you pitching, and how you can you see a headline suitable for that, for where you're pitching? So I think that has helped some in terms of really narrowing down my pitches. Also helped my inbox. So
yes, That's so true, especially with a publication. I assume like curiosity, so much of that clickable content like needs to be grabby and have a news value to your audience. A lot of obviously city related stuff and up and coming and new and exciting. So I can definitely see that if there's not a certain air of excitingness or locality, it's a bit difficult. And I'm sure you definitely get some that get lost in there. That's just seem out of left field. I can imagine.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the biggest piece of advice you would give, kind of looking back at your career, give someone who's aspiring to have a career similar to yours, interested in the media, writing, journalism? What's a little bit of advice you could embark on that?
I think that my advice would be talk to everyone. It's also, someone asked me yesterday about this, and you know, a lot of where I've ended up was because I've talked to people or said yes to talking to people or like yes to conversations. The first job I got on the island in Korea, like it was through someone who had heard that someone with a journalism degree landed and spoke English at the time. And, you know, yes. Had I been like, nah, I don't really want to meet this person or do this, that would have, again, potentially changed my career path. So, and then, you know, everything sort of following that as well, it's through talking to people. Like I said, I know a lot of people in the PR industry as well here, and a lot of them is also the same. It was just because I chose to communicate and respond. And I think that has been one of really my highlights in my career is the connections I've made through every industry, whether it's tech, you know, PR, education, transit, hotels, like it's endless amounts of people that I'm fortunate enough that I could feel like I could reach out to and ask a question and they would be able to answer. And it's all through saying yes to conversation and talking to people. I think we're so afraid because a lot of people just communicate via emails and online that I think we're a lot afraid of like just talking on the phone, or obviously meeting in person wasn't possible for a few years, so understandable. But I do believe in the power of connection and talking to people. And I think that's going to always be my biggest advice.
Yes, I love it. Is that a natural part of who you are and your personality since day one? Or has this career kind of forced you to step out of your norms and get more comfortable with having those conversations?
I think I'm fortunate enough to have it naturally. And the only reason I would think that is because my sisters are very similar to me. So I think we all grew up very outspoken and friendly in a good way. And loud, and so it's easy and it came natural for me. And I do know that, you know, for a fact that not a lot of people have that ability potentially to want to talk to others. A lot of people have hesitation in terms of public speaking, and that's totally, you know, it is something that I've dealt with in terms of past team members or some of the younger writers that I would mentor, for example. And with that, I have pulled resources such as courses, anything that really would help them kind of gain their voices and be able to speak easily and without hesitation. So I think everyone, you know, has their steps to take to get to a point where they're comfortable speaking. But I do encourage it. I think we always forget that at the end of the day, we all had to start somewhere. And I always think about that when people reach out, because I was fortunate enough to have people in my life to help when I had questions. So I love to hear from people that do have questions. And it happens, you know, like I've only had LinkedIn for a year, which is kind of a joke on its own because everyone's like, you're not on LinkedIn for like a full, like a long time.
Yeah.
And so when I finally got it, you know, I had the reach, like people reaching out, including people who have emailed me through work previously, who were looking to change careers, people who were just graduating, my former interns. So it's been a really good space for that, or for that, like reaching out and communicating, because that's what it's there for. So I don't think that like that initial reach out is weird at all. You know, I would hope so. So I encourage anyone who is sort of looking into a path to try and reach out to someone, because oftentimes you will get a response, especially from those who are like willing to talk to others about career paths.
Yeah, well, that's super encouraging. And I agree. It's really great to have a platform like LinkedIn where you're not just sending an email that at the time, probably 10 years ago, maybe sounded a little, it would be very daunting to just, hey, can we go for coffee? I'd love to kind of discuss your path or stuff I can do to further this. And I feel like that's totally the use of LinkedIn and just being able to see someone's career path and what they went to school for. Like, that's what I love. Creeping on LinkedIn is professional creeping. It's, I think, totally fine. I think it's acceptable because it's all there.
I mean, it's there, exactly. That's what it's there for and it was made for. I think people, you know, we have to have that stigma of like, oh, it's like a Facebook. It's really not like a Facebook at all. It's completely different. And it does give you a little bit more of that platform to communicate and reach out to others in the industry.
Yes. And what does that look like for you? I know mentoring is a huge thing you do, something you're passionate about. And kind of how did that come to be? And what does that look like for you?
You know, I think that it came kind of just from becoming a team lead initially. Working with younger writers was really how it started. And then my younger sister is also a mentor in her field. So I think that because we come from, you know, a background in which we didn't feel like we had a lot of people to look up to in our industries and fields, like we really did want to sort of start and make it comfortable for anyone, not necessarily just here or someone, I don't know, going to school somewhere else that might have the questions on how to get into writing and, you know, how to start writing. It is universal, that kind of topic. So I just really do. There is something so rewarding about seeing, you know, former interns or people I've kind of worked with in the past, like loosely over a project, or they wanted me to look over something, and them getting full-time positions with respectable publications across the city. Honestly, like, I don't think anything else can describe how rewarding that is. And again, it's nothing to do with, you know, I don't go out there and publicize this on a regular basis, because it's not about that. I think it's about the thank you messages that you get and realizing that you've really helped someone sort of really achieve what they're looking for, or at least like get into and start the footsteps that they've been trying to start. And it, you know, it's always good to have someone on your side to help you kickstart your own career.
Yeah, that's so huge. And definitely something I took away from university too, is being told that, making connections and not being afraid to ask and seeing people in the positions that you want to work towards. And especially in our field, communications and kind of these types of people, I feel more often than not, we're going to be surprised with the people that are willing to have those conversations with us and genuinely do just want to help us out. So that's really encouraging. And I love to hear that that's something you love to do too, because it's huge for anybody in this kind of work to benefit from that. Is, yeah, priceless knowledge. So really appreciate that.
Thank you.
I would love to know, obviously it's been crazy times. Hate to even like go into that sentence with, you know, the past few years been truly unprecedented. But with that, your whole career, your past 10, 15 years, what do you see going forward? Any huge trends you feel are on the cusp, or any major changes that are looming around the corner for the digital marketing or media industry? Anything on that?
Yeah, I think, like I said, it's funny because like my job, like our, when you talk about digital jobs now, it is a lot of strategy, content planning, social planning. It's not just about words anymore. It's like images, videos, even podcasts. So I think that was like one of the biggest shifts in the industry recently, especially in terms of media. You have that huge emphasis on social delivery. So it's using Instagram and Facebook, and now over the last year, TikTok, to deliver new sound bites. And that's been a huge focus for like huge, all of the big newspapers, even, you know, the Washington Post TikTok guy is probably like the biggest example of what that looks like, because he's done it so successfully that now he has a team of two others with him. So I think that's been like the one of the biggest changes that I've seen, is that really big shift into like really focusing on some of the digital platforms to share the content. That said, I think also looking into the future, it's going to sort of be similar, in which we're going to be looking at these social platforms that help deliver some of the content. But I think it'll also, there'll be, you know, you're seeing a rise of use of content creators online. So content creators in terms of the delivery of the message, or, you know, the campaigns or the marketing campaigns, advertising campaigns, which also has been kind of already happening a little bit, but I think that's going to be seen more and more, you know, like going into any, like if you look, you go to any restaurant opening, it's no longer about having a food critic. It's about having some of the food content creators from the cities come out to these events to create digital content for it, and not necessarily a big written piece about it. So I think that's definitely, it's going to continue on that trajectory, in my humble opinion. I don't want to call it for everyone else.
Yes. No, I would say it's totally, totally fair. I completely agree. Yeah, it's super evident, you know, even in my time, of just how effective and common influencers, content creators, the rise of TikTok. And it's like, the more these things prevail, these apps and these influencers, it becomes not an option to include it in your marketing strategy. It's just the way it's going, and the way the audience is receiving their information, right? So it's all about adapting, and I totally see that going forward as well. It's just going to become even more common going forward.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jumping into this, and it's okay if maybe this doesn't resonate or you don't have anything on this one, but are there any podcasts you're listening to or books you swear by that have kind of helped you get to where you are, keep you in the right headspace, or just helped you in any capacity?
Not related to sort of what I do. So because I think I was, you know, when I was immersed in actual daily news, it was very consuming. So I would try to use podcasts and books to disconnect from what I do on the day to day, so that there was a bit of that balance.
Fair.
So my favorite podcasts were never work related, which is, you know, I think most.
Okay, that's okay. I'm interested.
I think most people would probably may say the same. But my favorite podcast from the start has been Modern Love. I only started listening to podcasts pretty late, just like LinkedIn. I was late to the game. And so I think I only started listening to podcasts it was like 5 years ago. So it wasn't that long. But when I started, it was very much an escape for me. And I found the New York Times column always like such a beautiful escape. And the stories were so well written. And at the time, they were being read by different celebrities and these essays. And I think that I would like to think that I thought it would improve my writing, because they were so beautifully written. And they were all like independently written.
Right.
So that's like been one of my favorites, still is. You know, I was okay with the fact that it came out of the show. I'm not going to be upset about it, but the podcast, I always say.
I was going to ask.
But the podcast, just has a different feel. It's so good. And there's so many other episodes that are so well done, you know, that really shake you to the core as a listener. And I think that when I started writing 1,000 years ago, I felt like, you know, what I wanted to do as a writer is to always like paint a beautiful picture for someone, obviously not news related, but like in terms of general stories. So with that, you know, I think I really appreciated how a lot of the modern love stories were written. On the other side, though, I also really like true crime. So very different. Or kind of similar.
Yes. I'm with you. And yeah, it is so much about just having an escape, even if it's true crime. And I know sometimes zooming out and repeating back like what you're just listening to on a true crime podcast is kind of funny. It's like, how do we find that entertaining? It is. It's such a phenomenon. We're infatuated with it. So I'm right with you on that. I guess, yeah, you do need a time to unplug and just enjoy content mindlessly washing the dishes or whatever you're doing, especially when you're in such a fast pace, always consuming the news as I can imagine you were. That is huge. Did you just make sure you were very present watching your local news stations, and did you have certain subscriptions to, like, I'm always on the hunt for like a quick 5 minute in the morning podcast that kind of gives me the biggest news stories of the day, or a website that, of course, there's all your local stations' websites, but just kind of a more entertaining way and quick way, especially when you have so many things to do, to consume the recent news and make sure you're in the loop. But I don't know if there's a very effective way to do that. It's something I've just always been on the look for, though.
For a year, I mean, it's tough. With news, I think I, it wasn't even about it was landing in my inbox half the time. You know, it was all the press conferences. So we were really like always on the same level as the other news outlets in the cities. But in terms of really a good like newsletter to digest other news, again, similar to my podcasting antics, which is like, oh, I'm not going to ever listen to a podcast that reminds me of my day job. I think The Hustle is a really good one. It's really out there. It's funny. It pulls interesting stories, really, that no one asks. It really gives quick headlines that are witty. A lot of it is relevant still to the time. So I've really liked how they put their newsletter together as like a news source, but also, again, not very like news heavy in terms of like what I dealt with in the day to day.
Yes, yeah, so true. Newsletters are a great way to do that. And you can either click and consume it or, you know, skip it for the day if you have too much going on. It's really a nice way to kind of get some quick content.
Yeah, and I think totally that agree. Newsletters are going to be something else that's coming back. Again, don't quote me. But I do think that we are going to, you know, go back to that format just because it is, like you said, it's like, it's very personal. It's in your space. It's delivered right to you. So I think that, you know, while it may have potentially lost some of its appeal, maybe it didn't, but I think it is definitely something that will be a big sort of source of readership again in the future.
I love it. You heard it here first.
Oh my gosh. Again, don't quote me.
I'm just kidding. I love it.
I'm either going to be a genius or completely like not working in terms of what I'm predicting.
No, it's perfect. So obviously you are coming off of 10 years with another company and you're settling into a similar type of role at a brand new company. What are you wanting to accomplish personally, like in your career? Are there any milestones you're wanting to hit, or what drives you on the day-to-day kind of in striving towards something career-wise?
That's funny. You know, I ask that of my team sometimes, like, what's inspiring you? What's motivating you right now? Because I think that is a very important question that we don't ask ourselves frequently, because we do get consumed by our day to day and sort of just go about it without thinking about that, which is very important. I think that, you know, I have been so fortunate to have so many experiences in terms of this industry, this field. Really, I feel like I've grown through it all from the beginning to like, and it, you know, it's still changing, it's still growing. I've always been sort of more behind the scenes and not really the forefront personalities to a lot of what we were doing or what I'm doing now. I'm not sure if I would like, I'll put myself out there too much, but you know, I think that you know, I do have a lot of stories about people that I've met through the years, people that I've interviewed through the years, stories that are very entertaining, to say the least. I would love to try to put it all together somewhere one day, because, you know, I think I've had the opportunity to, you know, meet a lot of people through the last few years who, when they kind of start to talk to me and get some stories out of me, they're like, oh my God, like, you should write a book. And I'm like, oh God, you know, that's actually a pretty interesting idea. So it's yes. Like 10 years of,
I want
of stories of, you know, being in, you know, places and spaces with people that trust you and like really like give you like their stories. So like people do open up and tell you things, and, you know, obviously I would never write anything that would upset anyone because I'm too nice, but I think that there are a lot of really interesting stories out there. We see different broadcasters write stories over the years, and it's because, you know, this industry does have a very interesting background in terms of who you're meeting, how you're meeting everyone that's in the circles, you know. So I don't know if that answered a lot of your question.
No, totally. I love it. And that's such a great idea. Yeah, something to just start chipping away at. Don't put any pressure on it, but it is so amazing.
You have to promise you'll buy the book, Mackenzie. You'll be the first one.
Oh my, stop. I'm getting an autographed copy. No, for real. I feel like I can't get enough. Like, I mean, obviously there's just so much general interest in people with fame, or people were interested in celebrities or athletes, or obviously these are people we as a society is overly interested in their life. So having an abundance of stories.
Yeah, I think of politicians too. Let's not forget.
Right.
They're some of the most interesting people.
So true. Oh, so true. Does anything, and it's okay if not, does anything stick out for you, or what was a, one of your most memorable interactions or interviews or moments with somebody, someone you were super nervous to talk to, or any interesting, fun stories you'd be willing to share on that note?
You mean like as a precursor to my book release?
Yes, as a teaser.
I think that I, you know, when I was younger, one of my favorites was meeting and doing a couple of stories with Justin Trudeau before he was prime minister. You know, it was, you know, as a young writer at the time, it was very encouraging to have someone like him who very open, very chatty, made it super easy to talk to. And I remember like at the time thinking, you know, if I can, you know, interview him, I can interview anyone, because, you know, he wasn't prime minister yet, but he was still a Trudeau, Pierre Trudeau's son, and he was an MP at the time in Quebec. So I think that one really helped me gain a lot of confidence following that to really be able to interview anyone and everyone. And yeah, it's been kind of a wild ride since then.
That's amazing. Yes, I love that. It's so cool. Yeah, a first monumental interview, especially it going super well. That's very a lot of confidence to go forward. You're right. If you can do that in your early days, then you've got a bright future ahead of you. I love it. And okay, I know we've had such a great conversation. I won't steal you for much longer. On an unwork related note, we talked briefly about your perfect, your day off. You go for spin, go for brunch. I can definitely relate. What do you love to do in your time off aside from those things? Or what does your life look like on just a leisurely day, perfect day?
So I love the fact that we can travel again. I was just in Vancouver for a couple of days last week. And I love the idea that I will be able to travel again, I'm hoping. Travel was a huge part of my life. For 10 years straight, I spent my birthdays in different cities around the world. And I really feel super fortunate that I've been able to do something like that and would love to try to continue that. But besides that, on the day to day here, definitely spin. And that funny story about spin is I hated it the first time I tried it.
Yeah.
And then my good friend, who I actually met through PR, she was working in the hotel and travel industry here, and I met her, and she was also a spin instructor, or becoming a spin instructor. So she encouraged me to really try to go back to spin, and actually put me on all of her friends and family classes by force. So it was great because it really allowed me to experience it more than the one time that I hated it.
Yeah.
And I ended up loving it, and I ended up loving it too much, where I was spinning every single day.
Oh my gosh.
And I think like 4 months, yeah, then I had to like injure myself 4 months later to slow down. So I still love spin. I love that I live downtown Toronto, super close to the spin studios, but also, like you said, I love brunch. So super close to the brunch spots. I love, like, you know, just seeing friends. And one of the things I like to do on the day to day is, because we couldn't travel for so long, I really was like excited to sort of re-experience all of the spaces in the city and around our local neighborhoods. So, you know, we did a thing where in the fall we were going to like new restaurants every week that we haven't been to. And it was like, you know, we would do something on a Monday or a Wednesday on days that people usually wouldn't go out, because I really also truly believe that every day is a weekend if we wanted it to be, in terms of like being able to enjoy the mornings. I do freelance work for some companies, and so I'll be up at like 6 or like up late. So I'm not, I'm not a morning person or a night person. I'm a both person.
Nice.
I can stay up super late. I can wake up super early, and I just always kind of really try to use like the time in the day to do things that, you know, I want to do. And like I said, like even whether it's doing spin super early or, you know, going to dinner super late because it was the only reservation we could get, it's all part of the fun. So I think it's, again, really important. I do constantly kind of push for a balance, not just for myself, but for any of the teams I work with. We've always put, you know, I've always tried to put mental health forward in terms of teams, and you know, that doesn't just stop in the boundaries of your 9 to 5. It is everything that you do before and everything that you do after. And I remember, because when I would do like early morning spin, my energy is just like way too high for some people, which is totally fine. But I think that, again, that was just my way of sort of keeping balance. And I do hope that, if anything, it inspires anyone on my team or anyone that I mentor to do the same. And I think there's all that whole movement about like waking up early and really taking charge of your day. And I think I do really believe that's true.
Yes. That girl content. I'm here for it. Yes, I'm so with you on just taking advantage of the weekdays. And I've seen so much content out there from creators as well, of just don't leave all the fun things you want to do for the weekend, because yeah, that just puts you in such a negative state for your day to day, or just being able to take a weekday beyond your 9 to 5 is huge. There's so much possibility. There's hours left in your day. It doesn't have to be over when you close your laptop. So I love that. That's definitely something I relate to as well. Before we wrap up, was there anything else that you wanted to provide us with, or anything you wanted to touch on?
Oh, it's funny. I ask that question all the time if I talk to people in interviews, and then I didn't think about it for myself today, apparently.
That's fine.
I think that, you know, I could not have really been where I am today without every person, every leader in my life, every previous manager, everybody that I've met that had taken chances on me and given me opportunities. Because again, like, I know personally that I didn't necessarily go the traditional route of getting a master's or anything like that, but I still was able to sort of be and build something and prove that I can do it, you know, without the traditional standards. So I'm super, you know, I'm very grateful, eternally grateful, really, to everybody who's helped me along the way. I think that this is, I mean, we're in the field of communications, and it's just like the word, it's about communicating. And I've been very fortunate to have people that I agreed to talk to and people that agreed to talk to me all through the years, and really helped me get to where I am today. So, and yeah, like I've worked with several teams, and, you know, watching teams grow has also been such a huge inspiration to my days. So I love doing that, and I will continue to as much as I can.
That's amazing. Well, if I may say so myself, in our short time, you are surely a fantastic leader, and your success is so well-deserved. I really, really appreciated this conversation and you giving this time to me today. Genuinely, thank you so much for being so open and personable and having this conversation with me and everyone listening. So, Yasmin, thank you so, so much.
Thanks, Mackenzie. Don't worry. I won't forget about you when my book comes out.
Please don't. I'm going to connect with you. Everyone, connect with Yasmin. She's huge on LinkedIn.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely day.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and The Podfather.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.